The 2012 Dayton Literary Peace Prize Awards ceremony will be held on November 11th at the Schuster Center. The award honors authors from around the world who are using their world to help promote peace. WISO's Juliet Fromholt spoke with Sharon Rabb, founder and co-chair of the Dayton Literary Peace Prize, about this year's honorees. First, we begin with a little history.
The Dayton Literary Peace Prize came out of Dayton, a Peace Process, which was the group that gave the Dayton Peace Prize to Richard Holbrooke in 2005. And I was on the board that was presenting that award to Richard Holbrooke. And at that time, I had had a television show for years called Writer to Writer. Over all those years, the writers kept telling me they love to come to Dayton, Ohio, because Dayton was a reading community. And that might be something that might come as a surprise to people, that we are known throughout the literary community as a community that reads and as a community that responds well to writers. And I had had major writers who would come in 3 and 4 times because they were at Books & Co. And they came on my show and they just kept complimenting Dayton. And so as I sat there and I was listening to the board, I just said, I think it would be a good idea if we started a Dayton Literary Peace Prize. And like every good committee, they said, fine, Sharon, go do that. But I started researching, and what I found out was that there was no Literary Peace Prize in the United States, and there were only 2 others in the world. And one was in Canada, specific to Canadians. The other was in Germany, the Erich Remarque Award that goes to people from all over, but tends to focus on European writers. So then I realized we did have a niche. There was a need for this. And so a number of people, once the award was given to Richard Holbrooke, a number of people from that board joined me in creating the Dayton Literary Peace Prize, among them my current co-chair, Mark Meister, Tom Lasley at University of Dayton, Doris Ponents. This group of us became the core to create the Dayton Literary Peace Prize. We started fundraising. We went to the universities first. The universities were very generous because I think they saw that there would be something that their students could gain from having these wonderful authors in town. And so the first award was, in fact, that next year in 2006. And we give 3 awards. One at that time was called the Lifetime Achievement Award. And that idea came from Vic McCunis here at this station. And he said, you know, we really ought to think about that. And it hadn't occurred to me at that point because we were brand new and it seemed, wow, to do a Lifetime Achievement Award. But Vic was absolutely right. And he helped us get Studs Terkel to come to town for his valedictory speech. We give an award in adult fiction and an award in adult nonfiction, and we have runners up in those 2 categories as well.
In talking about the Lifetime Achievement Award, this year's recipient is Tim O'Brien, who is a very well-respected author, in particular for the things they carried, and he's also a veteran.
Right.
Tell me about the choice to honor him this year, and the question has been raised many times about the idea of books about war that are actually in celebration of peace, and if you could speak to that a little bit as well.
It's interesting to me that every year there's some kind of synchronicity that happens, and certainly this year it's true with Tim O'Brien in that our event falls on Veterans Day. That honestly was not planned that we would do that. In fact, it didn't occur to us later how totally appropriate that was, that it was going to happen for us this year. But if you read the things they carried, going after Cacciato in the Lake of the Woods, all of these things that are so close to my particular generation about what happened in Vietnam and the horrific situations that came out of Vietnam and all the controversy that arose in the United States over Vietnam. The fact that Tim is read in both high school and college, as well as by the general readership, that he has become part of the canon. And I think that is so important for people to hear his voice coming out of the Vietnam War. And we maintain that any good book about war is, in fact, a book about peace, because it shows the necessity of striving to have any alternative to the kind of horrific situation that these men and women faced in Vietnam. And Tim brings it home to us through short story, through his short story collection, the things they carried, through his novels. And he reminds us, book after book after book, of how important peace is to us and how important it is to not stumble into another war like Vietnam.
And likewise, going along with that idea of learning from experiences of war and building peace out of that, the nonfiction winner writes about the Great War, World War One, to end all the book to end all wars. Quite the synchronicity this year.
Well, it really was, because it was absolutely remarkable that, okay, once again, we have Tim O'Brien. It's Veterans Day, and our two winners are about World War One that started Armistice Day that led into Veterans Day. So, yes, it is perfect synchronicity. And actually, Andrew Kreebach's book, The Sojourn, isn't about building afterwards. In fact, it's about a young man, a Czechoslovakian, and Andrew Kreebach is a Czechoslovakian who immigrated to the United States and now teaches in Boston. And he told the stories of his family through this book, his stories that he heard both his grandmother and his mother tell about their memories of what they heard in the family about the Great War. And so he combined these stories and created a character who was, in fact, born in the United States, but after a tragedy in Colorado, moved back to his father's home country of Czechoslovakia and became a shepherd. And as a shepherd, he was trained as a sharpshooter without realizing he was being trained as a sharpshooter to kill any of these scavengers who were coming after the sheep. He became a very good shot. And so he was drafted into the Austro-Hungarian army during World War One, and was taken to northern Italy as a sharpshooter, and he was on the front there. And it takes him from the time that he is a shepherd and then joins the war, and then through a stint in the war, and then back home. And like Remarque with Dry Comrade and Three Comrades, he shows the aftermath of what happens to young men who go to war, just as Tim O'Brien does with the Vietnam War. Adam Hochschild's book is fascinating in that he focuses on Great Britain, and he takes warriors and he takes pacifists, and he traces them through the Great War from the British point of view, and he moves us in the prelude to World War One, including the Boer Wars and great times when people were still celebrating the cavalry as the primary weapon, and then he shows how tragically that misunderstanding of what war was going to become with the trench warfare that was created for World War One, and what a horrific situation that was. In tracing the pacifists, he also showed the frustrations that they faced in trying to talk with the British people about stopping the war, even as the war was going on. So he does quite a bit with Rudyard Kipling, and Kipling is not exactly a warmonger, but as a man who promoted the war as a writer through both poetry and prose, and then the tragic loss of his son, Kipling's son, in the Great War that he really never got over.
The events of the Dayton Literary Peace Prize go quite beyond just the ceremony on Sunday night. There, it's kind of a weekend celebration, and there are things that the public can participate in, even if they aren't going to the awards ceremony. Tell me a little bit about some of those opportunities.
Yes, the universities and actually high schools and universities pull together and have a number of events where the public is invited. The authors who are winners, the former winners who are presenters, and the judges might be asked by one of the colleges or universities to appear, and that is absolutely true this year. One of our judges, Christopher Cerf, is going to be lecturing at Sinclair, for instance, on Saturday morning to early childhood educators, because Christopher, in addition to the many things he has done, was a founder of Sesame Street and has written all the music and has developed an entire program of English language learning that he is going to be sharing with the early childhood people. And those are any early childhood people in the area would be invited to that. There's a poetry reading that is going to happen. There is a contest by Antioch Midwest University where people have been submitting writing to a writing contest, and then there is going to be a reading of all of these things at Antioch University Midwest. So things like that have been and will be happening throughout the community. And for a complete list on our website, www.daytonliterarypeaceprize.org, if you go up to the upper right-hand corner and you pull down under Outreach, you will see the various things under the College and University Consortium that will be listed that will be free and open to the public.
Thank you so much for being here today, Sharon.
Well, thank you, Juliet, for inviting us.
And stay tuned to WISO Weekend all next month. We'll be bringing you speeches from the winning authors during the month of December, and we'll air an hour-long special on this year's event on New Year's Day.